Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on hatred for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media to just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them. That's straight from Mike P.
If you like Mike P's music, check Catboy out. He's interesting. He always has a message for the crowd, Phil.
Yes, he does.
And do you know what that message was?
Fuck them.
That's exactly what it is. Boys and girls, welcome to Sam Crow Radio. This is a new program for us, a new concept. We've only run a couple of weeks. My partner on the left, as always, is Phil Hennigan, and I am, as always, Bill Kennedy. Pretty simple there.
Hello. Hello.
What did I say?
Phil.
Phil. Oh, excuse me.
I go by Philip.
Ever since we got big time now, he's Philip.
Oh, okay.
I can say
you're
I knew
right.
I knew
yeah,
him
right.
when.
You're
I knew
right.
him when.
You're right. Okay.
I knew him when. But from now on, ladies and gentlemen, it's Philip Hennigan.
There you go.
All right. Well, that's blah, 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 blah. For those people that didn't know you before, now they know.
Right.
We're talking about an interesting show, talking about Sam Crow Radio. We're talking about the past issues, what's going on. The TV series will start on the 10th. That's 1 week, boys and girls. 1 week. So the very next day, the 11th, will be the first time we'll be talking about the live shows. But this will be the end of the talking about past episodes. We will be having guests on, but
yeah,
we can't
because of the scheduling and what's going on. So today will probably be the last person that's been on the show. Mm-hmm. Possibly everything
changes
with the scheduling.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of hard to get everybody on one page.
But we certainly encourage anybody that's listening, if they're they saw this actor on Sons of Anarchy, please feel free to call and ask them questions with them.
All right. Say hello to Janine, Bill.
Janine, how are we doing? Where are you calling from, please?
No, she's not. No, she's
listening. Oh, she's just listening in. Okay.
Yeah.
Did she say hello to Philip and Bill?
Yes, she did.
She knows, and I didn't know. All right, then.
Yes, she did.
Excuse me.
So we got
rip up all my business cards with your name on and get new cards.
Yeah. I'm going to unmute this one.
All
I think 406. 461.
Want to tell us who you are, where you're calling from, please?
My name is Noella Taylor, and I think your guest star knows me quite well. I'm his sister.
Oh, good.
Oh.
And I've been watching Dimitri grow in his acting for a while now, and he's the one who was like, oh, I'm going to be on this Sons of Anarchy, and I was like, whatever, I'm going to watch it because you're in it, and then I fell in love with it, and now I'm addicted.
There you go. That's basically how it goes.
You know, can I ask you a special question for me to you? This is Bill Kennedy speaking. Special question, please.
Okay.
Say Dimitri's last name slowly for me.
Diachenko.
Say it one more time.
Diachenko.
Diachenko. Okay. Mm-hmm. I had not wrote down some of my notes for that, but I was writing Diachenko.
Mm-hmm.
So let me put the D. You can have your pin for a second. Wait, sir.
The only question I have for you is we had a little wire crossing, and the number I had for Dimitri, I only got the first four numbers. Would he happen to be calling from an 818 area code?
So I'm calling on my cell phone. I have to take it away from my ear really quick and look up his number.
Okay.
If you just give me a second.
Tell me the last name, too.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you just said.
Thanks for helping with the last name, too. It's always embarrassing when you can't say the name correctly.
No problem.
We're just two Irish kids. What do we know?
I will say it was a very hard episode to watch because although I love Jack Teller now, I was so angry at him. I was like, what are you doing to my brother?
Yeah.
It is an 818 area code.
Huh? Okay.
I'm signed into the chat. If I send that to you, will everybody see his number or just you?
Put it in. Just click on your name and it'll come up, and you can send it to me in a private chat.
Okay. So.
And What city or which state are you calling me from?
In fact, you don't have to do that. I already have him on the line. I just got, yeah. So, while he hung up.
No.
He hung up. Let me, we'll call him.
All right. We'll give you a surprise guest coming in to speak to the guest. How's that sound?
Yeah. Why, he already heard her talking.
Oh, well. Sorry about that, brother.
I don't have to. He's right here. Hello, Dimitri. How are you this evening?
Hey. Can you hear me?
We hear you fine.
Hear
Welcome
you fine
to the
now.
Show. I'm Bill Kennedy, and to my left is Philip Hennigan. We're two Irish lads, and we had a hell of a chance trying to get your name correctly. I phonetically wrote it five times, and is Diachenko close? I don't think so.
Are you still there? Dimitri. Oh, we lost him.
I said his name wrong. He hung up on me. See that?
All right, let me try this one more time.
This don't work pretty good. I'll just call him Double D.
There you go. Yeah. And basically what's happening is we're trying to get everybody that we know, that we have contact with, and depending on the schedules, we're going to work it out, but it should be.
Now, this is like a trial error, and then, of course, next week when the show goes on, we'll bring in the actors in for the show. It's going to be wild, boom, boom, boom. So they gave us actually 2 weeks, two shows to work all the bugs out.
Hello.
DD.
Hello.
Hey.
How's it going?
Good. That's what I was going to ask you. If you wanted, it would be better if we called you.
Yeah, we got our lines crossed. I actually called in a couple minutes ago, and I heard my sister talking, and you talking to her, and I'm like, can you hear me? No response.
Yeah.
So I figured I just had a listening line.
Actually, for a minute, we're going to keep her on the show. She sounded like a pretty interesting guest. So now you got a high bar to cross to find her. She's more interested than you are, sir. Dimitri, I've got
to
ask you. Your sister helped me.
Hey, Dimitri.
Is it Diachenko? Your last name, sir? Am I close?
Diachenko.
Yeah,
it's almost
say
like an Italian
time.
Name. It's like an Italian name. Think about like a D apostrophe, Diachenko. So it's Diachenko.
Okay, then, moving too close. Okay, thank you. Your sister's helping me. Phonetically, I wrote it down five times. I didn't get it. Now, listen, we have a lot of different. This is only the second show before the TV program starts on the 10th. And then we'll all be live and all that here. So this is like a second show warm-up. I got to ask you, we have information from the movie studios. Dimitri, you have got a portfolio here that it just goes on. And on and on. Talk about a man of all seasons. You're sophisticated. You got comedy, drama, well educated. You've got music in your career, television, movie. Philip, I don't know where to start with this guy. I mean, usually we get a small thing.
Yeah.
This is pages.
Yeah.
Dimitri, I've got pages on you. This is amazing. Let me just put it back to you. Because a lot of people want to know, how did you get started and how did you get into Sons of Anarchy? Can you tell us that a little bit, please?
How did I get into Sons of Anarchy? Well, I'll tell you what, it was like a four-year wish list for me. I was living up in Tujunga the first year they were shooting, and I remember coming home from an audition and pulling up my side street and seeing like 20 bikes and a guy telling me to stop, and I'm like, oh, what I got the Hell's Angels coming after me now? And they're like, no, we're doing a TV show, Sons of Anarchy. And I'm like, really? Because they got their home base up in Tujunga. And
right.
I'm like, man. And after I watched the first episode, I was hooked. And I remember just telling my manager and my agent, I'm like, hey, there's any way for you to get me on that show? Let's do it. And took 4 years to do it, but I have to say, you know, it was good things are worth waiting for.
So mostly that was your agent doing the work. You didn't run into any of those guys on Hollywood Strip or at the big...
No, I mean, the casting director for them knows me pretty well, and I think she brought me in twice. And so the second time, I was right for the part, and they asked me, one of the questions was, do you have any problem with bugs being on you? And I said, I guess not. I'm a pretty zen dude.
Well, let me ask you this here, because a lot of people try, everybody wants to be a TV star, a movie star. Everybody dreams of coming to Hollywood. First time you went and you didn't get on the show, were you totally devastated, or by this point in time in your acting career, you realized the fact that you've got to keep plugging away and luck helps an awful lot, your skill helps. What was it like when you first got rejected? Did you feel like, oh, man, I'm done? Or were you strong enough in will to say, hey, I'll hang in there, I'll make it? Tell us about that, if you would, please.
Well, I've been at this for 16 years in Los Angeles, and I, was preparing to move out here for 6 years doing my college degree. I took acting as a secondary major or minor, if you will. And 16 years out in L.A., I've had lots of times where I got turned down for one reason or the other. And at this point in my career, when people turn me, when I don't get the part, it's either that I'm not right for it, or maybe they want to go a little older, a little smaller, whatever. But I know it's not my performance, because I come prepared. I'm like a warrior. I don't show up to a knife fight, with bare hands, or a gun fight with a knife,
Outstanding.
Kind
of like us.
Being his sister, I know that when he gets turned down, he's got another one in his back pocket that's given him a yes. So his no's don't last long, because...
Do you hear me?
Some really good family support for him?
You know what? You cut out for about 10 seconds there.
Okay. Do I hear some good family support for you, sir? Is your family behind you on this?
Yeah. I mean, I have three great sisters and a brother that I, grew up with for most of their lifetime. My mom, she was a little concerned when I decided to come out to L.A., but, yeah, any mother would be. My dad actually drove out here with me, and he's in China now, doing walkabout. But he's old country Russian, so you don't get a whole lot of, hey, attaboy. You get kind of like, so did you pay all your bills this month? You did? Congratulations. So, but my sisters and my brother are very supportive, and I love them very much.
Let's talk about the diversity in your career. You got television, you got movies. Where do you see your growth? Or what new challenges do you really want to do coming up in the future?
What do I want to do in the future as an actor?
Yeah, well, acting, television, movies, maybe plays, or what is it you'd like for next challenge?
Well, I tell you what, next week I'm leaving to Romania to go do a thriller film where I've got one of the lead roles and a very funny character who's sort of like a arms dealer, but he's moonlighting as a real estate broker over in Moldova. So that, I take things one thing at a time, but if I was going to draw out what I'd like to do in the future, I think I need to be a superhero in one of these next superhero movies. I look like one, and I talk like one, and I got an attitude like one of, like a bad superhero. So let's rock and roll, Marvel or Warner Brothers. Let's do it.
You want to be one of the superheroes, or do you want to be one of the Expendables?
Expendables wouldn't be bad, but I think I belong in a superhero costume doing some kind of superhero shit. And the other thing that I'd like to do is be the lead villain in a James Bond movie.
That'd be a good one. I said you're diversified. You're quite interested. You're involved in music. How did you pick up all these different traits? Is this part of all the personalities that make you a person? Because I know music is really strong in your background, sir.
Well, yeah, I actually started playing classical guitar when I was 7 years old. Just it happened to be classical because my dad's best buddy was a classical guitar teacher. I wanted to play guitar from a young age because I was a big Elvis fan, and I watched him play guitar on film, like in Viva Las Vegas, and all these hot babes following around. And I said, you know what? I want to do that for a living when I grow up. So I started the guitar thing, and the acting thing came a little bit later.
I have a lot of respect for people that can sing and play musician instruments. I've tried in school, and the spirit was willing, but the flesh was weak. I had no talent whatsoever. I love to sing, but I have no ability to that either. So I really appreciate when I talk to people say, singing musical instruments, it's so powerful. I miss that altogether. Tell me about this film you're going to do overseas now. What language will the movie be in? When are you doing
Romania,
American, you said?
It's an American movie. My character is Vladimir, and he's going to speak a little bit of Russian, but it's meant for American audience. I'm sure it'll be dubbed sort of like Chernobyl Diaries, Company Heroes, the last couple films that I did. They go all over the world, and they dub them into those languages, but this is meant for an American audience. And it's called Repossessed, by the way.
Repossessed. Well, I'm looking forward to that coming. We think 6 months. We'll see it. What do you think?
Excuse me?
You think we'll see it out about 6 months to a year?
Usually it takes about a year from the time the film, you know, we got like a 4-week shoot. And
okay.
So say mid-October, they get the footage, they edit, do all this stuff. And probably a year later, you'll see it released in the theaters. Cross fingers.
This is quite exciting to you because you're going to be acting in it, but you don't know what the whole movie is going to be like. So until the premiere comes out, you'll also, that'll be really your first time seeing the movie because you know the part you played in, but your part's only like a big jigsaw puzzle, a piece here and a piece there.
Well,
so,
I mean, I show up in page two and I'm in the whole movie, so I probably will know, you know,
right.
I'll get an idea of how it's going to be, but how they edit it, yeah, sometimes the editing can change the whole anatomy of the film. Either for the being a good thing, or sometimes it turns something that's good into a bad thing. But I think we got a great group of people on this film, so I'm confident it's going to be as good as it can be.
Now, what did you have to do to get into Romania? Were they quite comfortable with you going to be coming in? What type of, besides your passport, did you need any documents going into Romania?
I was born in Oakland, California. I'm American, and just because of my name, I actually haven't had as many problems traveling abroad as I thought I would, especially with the unrest and the terrorism going on. But you know, you listen to me talk, and I'd have to be one hell of a damn good spy if I was going to be talking the way I talk with my name. So no problems.
What, may I ask you, when you were in school, and well, let's talk about your Taekwondo. You weren't just a participant, you were the heavyweight champion, is that correct?
Yeah, for
national,
for about 5 years, I was ranked in the top three in the United States, one or the other, one, two, or three. I went to the U.S. team trials in Colorado Springs. I got the silver medal at the Olympic Festival, which is the top four fighters in each weight division compete round robin. A bunch of stuff. I was a serious fighter. As a matter of fact, I still do that. I train with a professional boxing coach now, a couple of times a week just to keep my form, keep my groove.
Mm-hmm. I don't say this often, but you certainly fit the bill right now. To me, you're like a jigsaw puzzle, and one piece of the puzzle is your acting, and one piece of the puzzle is your Taekwondo, one piece is your classical guitarist, one piece is your education. It would be difficult for me to understand you when I first saw you because there's so many pieces of the puzzle. Now, when all the pieces of the puzzle come together, those of us that know all about you, we can identify you, but you simply have so many pieces of the puzzle, which is not a bad thing. So many pieces of the puzzle, it would be quite difficult just to put a label on you. This is who you are because you're so diversified. How do you feel about that? Do you think you got a lot to offer?
You know what? It's a bit confusing to a lot of people, and I guess what you could say, it takes a kind of a long time to get to know me because I'm not somebody that goes out and spouts off, you know, this is what I do, you know. It's sort of like it comes out in layers, and maybe that's why it's taken me what I consider too long to get as far as I have envisioned in my brain in the acting career, because, you know, what you see is just a little bit of what you get, you know. Well, you know, hey, you know what? I might as well take this time to congratulate Charles Hunnam on getting the role of Christian Grey in the Fifty Shades. And you know what really pissed me off? I read this article online this morning, and whoever the idiot was that wrote it is talking about how Charles Hunnam is an unknown. I'm like, unknown? What do you got to do in this town? Have a show that is some of the most kick-ass shows on TV.
You know, not to interrupt
TV.
You, but we were out, and we were riding with those guys, and Charlie happened to get pulled over, and all the women were stopping, taking his picture across the street. So the cop asked him, are you somebody special, important, or anything? He goes, have you seen The Sons of Anarchy? Never heard of it, and gave him the ticket anyway.
Do you remember Charlie did that movie, Green Street? Dimitri, do you remember that movie shot in England?
Manchester United!
Did you see that movie, though?
Well, which one was that, with Charles?
Yeah, it was Green Street Hooligans, and he played an English soccer team support club. Anyway, I saw him, and that's the first time I saw him wear white tennis shoes, but I thought after that first movie, I thought he was a star right then, and I didn't even get his name. I just was watching this movie, this English movie, and I thought, Jesus, this kid's on the way.
Yeah.
And then later he popped up, and all of a sudden the accent is gone, but the white tennis shoes are still there. And I went, well, that's that guy from that movie years ago. So I think he's always a great
guy. He's a great actor, man. He's a good guy, too. And when I read that article, it just steamed me because, I mean, I'd like to be a series regular on a TV show. And if I was going into my sixth season and some idiot wrote an article like that calling me an unknown, I'd be like, you know who's unknown? You, the writer. Who the hell are you? Go write about Paris Hilton. Get on out of a friggin' limo, you friggin' idiot.
Yeah, with no panties on.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Phil
Go write about that.
Phil and I were at the He's Ride a Bike show a while back, and we were up there talking to Andy. I'm the president of the Sons of Ireland, and we also were talking to Emilio, was it, Philip?
Yeah.
I think, anyway, four of us were talking, and the announcement came, ladies and gentlemen, Jax, Charlie is coming into the north end of the building. 100 women came running right at us. They came closer and closer. They got about 5 feet from the four of us, and they went around us like we were just a barricade running at Charlie, and I go, wow, that guy has a hard life.
I've never seen energy.
And
you know,
yet he was the nicest one to sign every autograph, shook everybody's hand. No ego, no attitude.
No, Charles is a class act. As a matter of fact, when I first walked on the set, the first episode that I did where I kidnapped him and Opie, this was the first year that he shaved his head. So he had like a completely different haircut, like a buzz cut. And I'm walking onto the set, and he walks by me, and I look up, and I didn't recognize him. And I remember going, hey, what's up? Sort of like you just say, hey, what's up to, you know, whoever, somebody that's not him. And so, like, half an hour later, they're like, okay, we're going to do rehearsals. So I recognized Ryan from, you know, Opie. Then Charles walks in, and it's that guy. And I go, dude, I go, I'm sorry. I didn't recognize you. You cut off all your hair. And he was cool with it, but it's just a weird way to do. So the first thing you do is you see the star of the show and you can't recognize him because he cut off all his hair. So interesting, but he was cool.
Yeah. Phil and I, over the course of years, have met with these guys on many different events and all that, and truly, well, people are nice enough to flip us always backstage and all that, but nobody's ever had an ego or an attitude so far at all. That's kind of nice. It's those actors which are comfortable that Philip and I enjoy being comfortable around. We come across actors that I think their heads up their ass, and you know what? People don't want to be around people like that. Be humble, be sincere, be who you are. In the long run, I think that's where you can be most successful. Because right now,
I agree with you 100%, man. And that's one of the things I loved about doing the show is that, you know, everybody on that show is just a good guy. I mean, from Flanagan, Ryan Hurst, and Charles, and Ron Perlman was great. He actually, I think, was an integral part in saving me from having to go after we did the scene where I got eaten by the fire ants and he smothers me to death. We went to lunch, and I'm sitting at the lunch table, and Peter Weller, who's directing, is like, yeah, you know, maybe we should get back into that scene. I think I want to get a couple more angles. And I just showered off. I just got all that KY gel off me and all the dead. They were basically baby crickets, and they were biting me, like everywhere. And so I showered, got them all off, and I'm thinking, God, please don't have me go back in there. And so Ron, I think, was the guy who went over to Peter and goes, you know, let me meet you go. I think we got everything. And he's like, yeah, just for me to go. I was like, oh, thank you, Ron.
when 25th of August, I was up there with all those guys. And just being in back with all the vets and most of the guys, there was a few guys there with in wheelchairs, missing legs and arms and stuff. And there was one girl that I saw. But those guys made it a point. It didn't matter who they were talking to or whatever. They said, excuse me, and went to talk to those guys.
Yeah. Took the time out of
and
the...
And they came around from that red carpet deal. Each one of them stopped to say hello to every one of those guys. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. You know, they've been fantastic thing. Yeah,
that doesn't
fantastic.
Surprise me at all that they would respond that way. I they're all class acts, like I said.
I'd like to ask your sister, does she have any special questions for you? How about we switch this around a little bit? Is she still out there? Is her sister still there?
Is this Noella?
Let me switch a little bit. Do you have any special questions for your brother? This will be a first type.
Oh, my goodness.
Turn the interview over to you. Ask him anything pertinent questions you'd like. This will be a switch in the program. Taylor, you have the mic. You have the air.
Okay, so one of my favorite movies that he did was The Chernobyl Diaries. It was him, not only in persona, but ever since growing up, Dmitry couldn't walk into a room and not have everybody laughing within a minute. I mean, he just gets the crowd riled. And so when I saw him on Chernobyl Diaries and he was doing his little pranks and jokes, that was Dmitry. So I want to know what his favorite scene was from that awesome movie.
You're
from
Chernobyl
Diaries?
Yeah.
My favorite scene, I think, probably was where we go up into the apartment and I do that whole, you know, explanation of how people are looting through these buildings, and then the bear shows up and I walk right towards where the bear is. That was my favorite scene, that whole episode there.
That scared the crud out of me. That was so
the beef
good.
Jerky scene wasn't bad either.
Yeah.
Taylor, what is the biggest changes you think you've seen since he's a young man into where he is today? What do you think has been so different? Or has he been the exact same pretty much since teenage years?
No, I would say that he's matured into this, like, man from the boy, like, that I grew up with. From where he was, like, always being prankster. When my husband and my kids, we went to visit him in California, he taught my six-year-old how to slow dance. And he taught our three-year-old, he took her swimming in the pool. He was just an awesome uncle. And I didn't really see that softer side of Dmitry that he probably doesn't want me to talk about, but my girls couldn't stop talking about Uncle Dmitry. We want to go see Uncle Dmitry. And I was like, hold on. This is the same guy who used to put Vaseline in my hairbrush and rat turd in my cereal? Are you serious? He's way different.
That's
a
juicy
uncle.
Gossip
so
we
want
to hear.
You know what? You cut out for a second, but the last thing I heard was something in her cereal.
Yeah, you
I
know exactly what I'm
that.
Talking about. One of us
repeat
is still
that again,
laughing
Taylor.
About that.
Now, repeat
I'm sorry,
statements.
But that was just fucking funny. I wouldn't do that now, but
I
wouldn't do that now.
You don't have to worry about if you swear or anything, because we don't have a 7-second delay or anything like that.
Internet radio is wide open, so choose whatever language you're comfortable with that. So don't say,
sorry, that snuck out, but I'm glad that you let me know that. I think Noella's on the ball there. I'm pretty much the same guy that came out here 16 years ago, but of course, you know, there's, you live and you mature through people that you meet, things you go through, good and bad, and you know, it's like Bear Bryant said to the Alabama, he said, you know, that fatigue is weakness leaving your body, and I think of that all the time when I feel, you know, a little bit depressed, or hey, I haven't gotten anything in a while, and I should be here, and I'm here, and I just think, you know what, just fall forward. If you're going to fall forward, get up and keep going.
Dimitri, I've been reading some of the questions, some of the people emailing us, but we have a person that wants to ask you a question, 774.
We'll do that one first, and then we'll do the 708 next.
Okay, and can you tell us who you are, where you're calling from, please, and what's your question for Dimitri tonight?
Hi, Phil. Hi, Bill. It's Stacy in Massachusetts.
Stacy from Massachusetts. We got Dimitri on the phone. Is there any question you want to ask him tonight?
Yeah, I had read something that you went to school in Massachusetts. Is that true?
Yeah, I went to high school in Massachusetts. I went to Newton North.
Did you do all 4 years there?
I spent sophomore through senior year there.
Did you like it?
Yeah, I had a great high school time. I played football. We beat Waltham my senior year, which is always a plus. Had plenty of girlfriends. It was a nice time. It was right before they fenced up everything, and now it's sort of more like a prison than when I went there. But I had a great time.
Nice.
Stacy, where'd you go to high school at?
Who, me?
Yes. Did you know where he went to high school? Where'd you go to high school at?
Tiverton High School. Because I grew up in Rhode Island, but I live right on the state line now. You know, it's like 2 minutes up the road. But I had read something about him going to Massachusetts high school, and I figured me being a Massachusetts person should ask that question. You know, how exactly did he like his stay here in Massachusetts?
I moved up to Massachusetts from Florida, and I have to say I prefer Florida weather.
Oh, you don't like the snow, huh?
The only time I like snow is when I'm skiing on it.
That's always good too. It's always good.
Yeah.
Snow in the rearview mirror.
So, have you ever gone back to the high school, like during your acting career, go back and you know?
You know what? I haven't been back to Massachusetts in like, I'd say like, I don't know, 20 or 18 years maybe. I mean, I've gone through, but I haven't gone and visited, you know, which is something that I kind of feel I need to do because Boston's changed a lot, and I'm a big Bruins fan. That's my number one hockey team. Second is the LA Kings, and I love to go during hockey season.
You're not a Patriot fan, huh?
A what fan?
Patriot fan.
I like the Patriots, too. Yeah.
Oh, you're all right, then.
Patriots and Bruins, baby.
That's the only way to go. But
yeah.
All right, that's cool. I just, you know, because I had done some reading and seen that you went to high school there and, you know, then it got into your colleges and different things like that. And you have a master's degree, don't you?
Yes, in music. Yes. Yep.
In
from
what?
Florida State University, baby. Go Seminoles.
Did you play football down there?
I didn't play football at Florida State. No, I played a year at Colorado State, my first year out of college, and I decided I wanted to do a music major instead, and that's what I did. But at Florida State, I was actually working out with a few of the players that were on the team, and they asked me to come out and throw just to throw some passes for them because I got a rocket for a throwing arm. So from high school, you know, played linebacker and quarterback in high school. And I can still throw a 70-yard bomb.
Wow, nice, nice. Now, didn't you win several different guitar competition awards when you were, like, little, like between the ages of 7 and 10? I'd also read about
not,
that.
Not that young. I started winning competitions when I was going to Stetson University. I won, like, the ASTA competition, an MTNA competition, and later some other concerto competition.
Maybe I got the ages mixed up. Were you like fiddling around with guitars and stuff back when you were little? Is that it?
Yeah, I started playing when I was 7.
Yeah, okay.
And I played my first solo guitar concert when I was 11 years old, which is, I still remember to this day.
Nice. Nice.
You know, I hate to bring it to both you guys, but I'm originally from Chicago.
We don't care.
Okay.
I'm from Boston. I'm from Boston. Stacy's from Boston.
I can't get a break.
A better team this year, I admit. You guys had the team to beat.
I would be the one of you two mentioned the Boston Red Sox. I was a little bit miffed at that, but I'll let that go.
I'm talking about the Blackhawks, man. You guys have one hell of a team, and I lost money when the Blackhawks played the LA Kings, and I thought I was going to get it back from my Chicago buddy. I lost it again. So, c'est la vie.
Yeah, I want to feed back.
Stacey, I'm really surprised you have so much knowledge about Dimitri. How did you? We have another caller that really wants to get a question before I get back. What's the next line? 708-539-539. Tell us who you are, where you're calling from, please.
Hi, Bill. Hi, Phil. It's Nora from Chicago.
Chicago. Oh, my God.
Chicago.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful city, by the way. I'm a big fan. Beautiful city.
It's wonderful. You know, the authenticity with the foods, everything. It's just amazing. I do have a question to ask you. I can't go into other ones because Bill beat me to it. So I'm going to go into your music. What inspires you in your music?
What inspires me? You mean when I'm performing or writing, or I guess...
When you're performing, when you're writing, do you have certain people that's where you ventured into your music? Now, I've heard everything that you've got so far, and just amazing. Amazing.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. I think when I play, whatever style of music it is, it's basically like a direct line from my heart to whoever's listening.
Okay. Because I came across your fan page for your music, and it was your the song that you played, Blue Chili. I made a comment on that, and like I said, I was just very impressed. The instrumental aspect of your music. I listened to that myself, and as I listened to everything that you've played, I didn't know if you had a certain type of music that you like to go into. A lot of it is
I'll tell you what, my all-time favorite guitar player is Stevie Ray Vaughan, hands down.
Okay.
So whether I'm playing a tango or a samba or something like Blue Chili or, you know, any kind of genre, I like to evoke the kind of soul and power and authority and that Stevie had. And I was lucky enough to see him 3 times live, and, you know, he's just brilliant. So that's pretty much what I try to do when I play myself, is evoke that kind of feeling, power. Soul, romance. Sometimes there's a little anger in it, because Lord knows I got some anger issues. So there's a little bit of everything.
But it's okay. I mean, you feel it. through your music. Like for me, when I first heard the music that you had on your page, you could just feel it. It was just something that you could feel through the soul, you know, and that's what catches people that are into music. You know, if they can feel that, they feel you through your music. But you are an outstanding actor, and I think you, I think they cut you too soon on the Chernobyl Diaries, you know, your part.
yeah,
I think you
should
have played a little bit longer, but it was great. You know, the movie was just wonderful. Your Company of Heroes, I mean, everything I've seen you in is just amazing. You just pull everything to the character and through yourself to a T. You know, Sons of Anarchy, it really sucked the way that they sunk you in quicksand. But like I said, through the season there, when you came in, it was just amazing. You did an excellent job. Now, is this something that you wished you could have stayed in instead of being killed off?
Sons of Anarchy?
Yeah.
Yeah, believe me, I wish I was in the whole season. I mean, I know eventually if you're playing a bad guy, you got to go, but I thought two episodes was nice, but of course, you always want more, you know?
Right.
But I appreciate your response to my performances musically and on film. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome. I mean, like I said, I haven't seen anything that you haven't done that wasn't great, you know. And between your music and with the movies, it's just amazing. And for you having every aspect, as Bill was saying, through, I'll use his phrase, in the puzzle, everything comes together. And after hearing how you spoke with Bill and Phil in regards with what you've done, where you've come from, everything else, that all comes out in your performance, whether it be music or in acting, you know, and just being the person that you are.
Well, I guess I'm doing my job then. Thank you very much.
Yes, you are. You're welcome.
I have a question for Taylor. Taylor, you still on the line?
I am.
Taylor, listen, we have a lot of different actors on here, a lot of people calling in. I have never had a show where everybody is just giving so much applause to this gentleman. Are these girls all related to you, Taylor? Are these just other sisters on the phone? Stacy?
No, because we throw in a little bit of the bad, you know, like talking about the poop and the cereal and stuff. These girls are only giving praise, so they didn't live with him. Absolutely
not. And I'm hearing nothing but, you know, God Almighty, the guy's fantastic. Let me ask you a question, if you don't mind, Dimitri, because I am a huge indie fan. And you did something called Clubhouse, shot in Birmingham, Alabama, and it's supposed to be coming out sometime in 2013. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
You know what?
I'm not aware of it at all.
It's a good thing you reminded me of that. Talking about how I've been trying to fuse guitar playing and acting and do it on camera, Clubhouse is actually the first movie that I've done where I have a scene in the movie where I'm playing guitar with a beautiful Russian actress. It's a pretty sexy scene. And it's basically, the movie's done. It's going to all the film festivals for the next year. So you'll hear of it through the film festival circuit if you're tied into that network. And hopefully it'll somebody will want to distribute it and release it in theaters. It's a really good film. It's kind of like a psychodrama. And I play a good guy in it.
A switch.
A switch. As a matter of fact, the last three movies I've done, I've been good guys. It's sort of I'm hoping this trend continues. Not that I don't like doing bad guys, but good guys
don't get killed off right away,
longer.
Right?
The what?
I said, but good guys don't get killed off right away, so stay a good guy for a while, right?
Exactly. The good guys last a little longer, which means they make more money.
Do you, Phillips asked me a question here. One of our people, they write me a message in here. Do you ride a motorcycle, sir? Dimitri?
Do I ride a motorcycle?
People want to know. People won't come on the air because they're uncomfortable. They're typing us messages trying to read it.
I rode a little bit of motocross, like when I was a little kid in the backwoods behind the house in Florida. But I spent most of my time hunting rattlesnakes, gators, and anything else that slithered or crawled. So I'm not really a bike rider. I at one point I would like to get a custom bike made, and I don't know if I think I wrote this on Facebook this morning, but I don't know if you're familiar with who Chris Shifter Anderson is, for the Australian custom bike builder.
No.
But I ran into him last week through another friend, hung out and had a beer with him. That's the guy who I want to make my custom Harley when it's time.
Have you stopped by Rusty's shop, Illusion, in Whittier and seen his motorcycle shop?
No, I have not.
Okay.
Where's that at?
Pardon me?
He was with the Nomads, and he's coming back. He built Kurt Sutter's motorcycle for him.
He also built that bike for the Wounded Warriors they raffled off.
Oh, no kidding. Is he in the Valley?
He's in Westminster off the 405 at Golden West.
Oh, okay. So he's towards LAX. I know where that is, Westminster. Yeah, I've never been to his shop, though. I need to go.
Yeah, he's good people.
Yeah, just tell him that. Bill and Phil sent you. If you send me send me an email or friend me on Facebook, I'll give you all his info.
Mm-hmm. I own a shop here in San Diego called Kennedy's Custom Cycles, and we try to refer people back and forth to good bike builders, people we can trust, people who aren't going to be scams, people who are going to be here for the long run. Being in the industry for 30 years in the motorcycle world, I like associate with shops that are reputable. He certainly is one of the good shops around here.
Cool. Well, I'll definitely look into it when it comes time for me to order my bike. I plan to look around, but there's lots of great bike builders in California. California is an interesting state like that, as far as not just bikes, but classic cars as well. It's just a good place to go out and cruise, whether you're on two wheels or four.
You know, Dimitri, you make an excellent point here, because when I tell people you buy a motorcycle, refer to the Kennedy Triangle, the right handlebars, the right seat, and the right foot pegs. But each bike builder has a certain way to build motorcycles. So not everybody, their version is the way you want it to be. So you got to shop around, talk to a few different shops and say, okay, this is what I want. This man understands the way I want it built. Sometimes I met a few bike builders that got their head up their ass so far that they will build the bike and you will get it. That's bullshit. I believe you can develop a rapport with the bike builder so he understands what you want exactly, how you want the color, how you want the handlebar and everything. You find a good shop like that, you're in good hands. Some of the guys, though, they think they're too big now. That's too sad. Too sad.
Well, you know, growing up in Daytona Beach, I kind of grew up with the biker culture. As a matter of fact, one of my best buddies growing up, his dad, I think, was the one of the like presidents of the Outlaws for Volusia County at the time. And of course I was 10 years old, 11 years old, 12. I was oblivious of that. But I remember my mom always saying, I don't want you going down to that house there. It's, you know, there's too much mischief going on. And I'm like, yeah, but mom, they got HBO. You got rid of it because it's got nudity on it. I'm going down to Frankie's house and there'd be motorcycles everywhere. Good times.
In Daytona Beach, I got to give props to a shop called Carl Speed Shop. Anybody in Florida will say that is the finest motorcycle shop in Florida. This guy builds motorcycles that go down the road sideways. Carl Speed Shop. You're back in Florida. Stop and see that boy. He builds bikes.
Carl Speed Shop.
Yes. He used to be from California. He had a long talk with me. He said, Bill, let's get out of California. The hell with these taxes and all that. He moved down to Florida. He loves the area. That boy is designed for one purpose, Bonneville Salt Flats. All his motorcycles are indestructible, so powerful. Great guy. Great guy,
nice.
By the way.
Great
they
combo.
People all across the nice people, yeah.
Yeah, I just sent you a friend request, and I'm going to send you the link to Rusty's shop.
Hey, we're checking out, too.
Okay, cool. Yeah, the next time I'm down in Daytona will probably be Christmas time. I'm trying to take maybe, you know, a couple of weeks during the break. And I got a new nephew. My brother just had a little boy about a month and a half ago, little Constantine Jr. So I got him to visit, and I will check out the Daytona shop. If you can put the name of that in the email that you just talked about as well.
That's impressive down there. Like I say, he spent so much of his time on the Bonneville Salt Flats. And before he left California, he only left us in California because the taxes were getting crazy. Everything was getting crazy in California. He wanted us to get out. So I understand that. A lot of great bike builders have left California because of the problems.
It's tough to buy anything out here. Like, you know, people buying houses here, for what you spend here, you could go to, you know, someplace in, like, where I'd like to get my house built, that I designed, St. Augustine, Florida, which is like an hour north of Daytona. I could get a castle for what I get a three-bedroom up in hills here for, you know?
Exactly. We have
money
a friend
being,
of ours in from
money-wise.
Australia. He went down to Ensenada, Mexico. He bought himself a castle. He said, Bill, I can live at least 9 years, excuse me. He says the biggest damn thing he's ever seen in his life. And according to California prices and Australia prices, this is dirt cheap. So he's going to keep his Australia home and his Mexico Ensenada castle down there. We're paying too much money, but, you know, pay the sunshine tax. What do we care?
Well, good for him, you know. If he feels like he's got a deal, then that's what counts. You know?
I remember when years ago, Philip and I both decent houses here and all that, but I should have bought a house on the beach. I should have bought a house on the beach. I will kick myself every day. I should have bought a house on the beach. Now I can't even afford to visit the beach.
Where are you at?
I'm in the town of Vista, and Philip's in the town of Oceanside.
I'm 3 miles from the back gate of Camp Pendleton. I was a Marine and got stationed here, and I never left after I got out.
Oh, so you're like a little ways from like Carlsbad and
right
south of that, right?
Right.
Carlsbad, south of us. I'm right now. Okay. I'm 9 miles inland, and Bill's about 11 miles inland.
My mom is still alive and well. She has her own house, lives by herself. She's in Carlsbad. She bought it in 1966, and she paid, I remember, like $18,000. And I remember my mother and father having their first argument. My father was on the way to Vietnam, and she said, we need to buy the house. My father says, we can't afford to buy the house. My father said, if he dies in combat in Vietnam, that $18,000 house will be paid for. And I remember the next day they went and bought the house. Today it is down by the beach. It is a bazoom amount of money and all that, but $18,000, and my parents were fighting over it. $18,000 for a house? That's crazy shit.
$18,000 won't even get your garage fixed up into a man cave.
You can't even pick up a car for that today. But I would just like to say that something funny that had happened to me the other day, and I think I told Dimitri the story, was I was in the dining room. I had the TV on, but I had walked into the dining room, and I heard Dimitri talking, and I was like, what is going on? And I walk in the living room, and it was a rerun of Criminal Minds. And it was just the funniest thing to, like, you know, be doing mundane work, and, like, you hear his voice, and you're like, what the hell? He's in my house. And I came out here, and there he was in one of the scenes. And sometimes the girls will be watching TV, and a commercial will pop up, like the Bank of America commercial that he was on. And it came up, and they were like, Mommy, Uncle Dimitri got married? He's with some woman on TV. I was like, wait, what? No. And so then that was hard to explain that it was a commercial and it wasn't for real. And why was he wearing a Christmas sweater? Or like the Velveeta commercial is the best. Mommy, Uncle Dimitri drive a big car now? No, Uncle Dimitri does not drive a limousine. Now, so it's kind of hard to explain when they're playing video games and they hear his voice and they're like, Mommy, Uncle Dimitri is a Sandman? No. Yes,
Spider-Man,
no.
Yeah. Iron Man 2, he's in that one, the video game. Taylor, let me ask you a quick question here.
The video game, the voiceover stuff, that's been actually pretty good over the last few years.
Taylor, let me ask you a question. When he's in another room or you're in another room and his voice comes on a TV program, how far back does that voice take you? To when he's a young man, or do you immediately see him as he is today? The TV's on, he comes on a commercial or an older movie. and you hear his voice, what do you hear? Do you hear Dimitri today, or do you hear him back when he's a younger man?
Well, the girls like to Skype with him, so they'll call
uh-huh.
him up. So it's usually like the last time that I've seen him, so that's what I'll remember. So they uh-huh. one day they had said, I want to Skype with Uncle Dimitri. And so we called him up, and they were talking to him. So it's usually just like the last scene. Now, the other day I was looking through some photos where he was doing like weightlifting and he had his arms flexed or playing guitar, and that'll be like, you know, that'll throw me back. But usually it's just the most recent. But I do have to say, so now I have to give him some mad props as being a big brother, because he has really like led his life in a healthy type of lifestyle with what he has chosen to eat and how he's chosen to maintain his body. And the rest of us really do look up to him when it comes to that, and how he just respects his body as a temple. And it's been great to watch him, but also like to learn off of him. Yet, even though some of us have a few more pounds than we'd like to have, he's never disrespectful. And that's really, I got to give him credit for that, for showing us the proper way to do it, but not like, you know, if we're shoving a Twinkie in our face, he's not going to be like, oh my God, you're a horrible person. So.
Well, that's like Bo and I, if we knew we were going to live this long, we'd take a lot better care of ourselves.
Oh, Lord, you have no idea. I'm still alive. I didn't know I'd be alive this late. Taylor, is he still your brother? Do you feel like this is taking him in little stardom? Does he still feel, so you see him, like he's just your brother, Dimitri?
No way. Yeah, yeah, obvious. No way is he the actor, big shot, hot shot. I mean, we were just down there last Christmas, and he came down, and my daughter saw him, and they ran to him, and he scooped them up and swung them around, and like he said, his St. Augustine. We went on a trip to St. Augustine. He was hanging out with us, and it wasn't like, oh, I'm going to go do this because I'm too good for you. No, absolutely not. I mean, like, of course, as soon as we got to one of the places and he was chit-chatting and he said that he had played guitar, they immediately invited him up to the stage, and he's up there rocking the guitar, and we're all rooting him on. No, there's no I'm better than you guys. We're still his little brother and sisters, and he'll still kick our ass. We know that. Don't worry about that.
Taylor, anybody in the family following perhaps his footprints, maybe one of the nephews or nephews, nieces? Follow maybe in musician or acting? What do you think? Daughters, yes.
So Ziva really wanted to learn guitar, and that's my daughter, and she wanted him to teach her. So I can see that happening. Everybody picks a little bit off of him. And my nephews, you see a lot of the humor. They'll joke around with
uh-huh.
him and pull the punches. My sister's son, or our sister's son, her one son, he's into the, like, oh, what can I kill, a raccoon, a rattlesnake? So he gets that. So you can see pieces of him
yes.
and everybody.
That's what I say. When I was describing him, it sounded like a jigsaw puzzle. With all these pieces coming together, very few people can see the full picture of who he is. Most people, I think, are only going to get to see a piece of him because he has such a diversification of skills and abilities. Quite an interesting young man.
There's nothing that's awkward. There's not, like, when you're looking at this puzzle, it's not like it doesn't all go together. So when he
uh-huh.
plays guitar, he's no different than when he's doing his Taekwondo than when he's acting. He's all the same person. And so you just see it, and it just, for me, it just flows like music. And you just know all the different facets of him, and he knows how to work it. He knows when my mom was sick, and I'm sorry, our mom, when our mom was sick, and he played the guitar for her. He brought his guitar down on a trip once, and he played for her. And it was just like, he uses his puzzle pieces, as you call them, to just make the world better and just to fit absolutely into place. When he's dancing with my daughter, or he's dancing, or he's swimming with a niece, or he's roughhousing with a nephew. I mean, he just knows which puzzle piece to use, definitely. Now, wow, we're making him sound like he's got multiple personalities. That's not him.
I wonder sometimes.
Do you have one of your kids at home with you?
I'm sorry?
Do you have one of your kids at home with you? One of your children home with you tonight?
I'm on the East Coast right now, and it's 10 o'clock, so they've been in bed for 2 hours.
I was going to give the whole family a plug. Let's put them on the air, too. They could be our future stars.
Thank you.
In the past, I said we've had people get on, and they're a little bit more distant and they're a little bit more reluctant to talk, but our friend from Chicago and the one from Boston, wow, they just went all over him. And they have a sister like that. We should all have a sister like this girl, Taylor, you know?
I have a sister like that.
You never introduced me.
Well,
to
I got two more of those and a brother. They're all equally as interesting and wonderful. So sometime maybe, hopefully there'll be a red carpet event out here in Florida, and you'll get to see all of us at one time. That'll be a trip, huh?
We'll need to have a bail bondsman on the side for that one.
Yeah, what exactly? I'll have to prepay.
Yeah, exactly.
We're just able to help you with a bondsman, and he is in California, and he goes all the way to Washington on the West Coast, so it's no problem. If you get a problem, just call us. We'll give you his number.
It's not that we need
a bail discount. Will we get the
bail
discount?
You get a family discount.
Absolutely.
10% off if you mention the radio show.
Exactly. Oh boy, funny.
He's quite an interesting guy, Raj, with us. We've not.
All right, what else?
Dimitri, I haven't thought of you in a while. What other things do you have?
We have a lot of friends that need them. You know, what the hell? Crazy.
So now we know there's so much stuff going on, but
tell us, we know about Romania, and when are you going to be leaving for Romania now, Dimitri?
Do I what? Say that again?
When are you going to leave for the next film to Romania? When do you leave?
A week. 1 week.
1 week, oh.
1 week. I'm headed to Bucharest. That's going to be where our we're going to be stationed. I'm sure we're going to shoot, you know, in and around Bucharest. But I shot one of the things I love about this job is, especially when I get an acting gig that takes me to several different places. Chernobyl Diaries, I got to go to Serbia, Belgrade, Serbia, and Hungary. So I got to see Budapest. And then I went and did Company of Heroes in Sofia, Bulgaria. And now I'm going to Romania. It's just, it's wonderful. It's an adventure. And then I get to, you know, I get to experience other cultures, food, customs. And luckily they have a skating rink 4 blocks from the hotel, because I'm presently learning to play hockey and I don't want to take 4 weeks off of skating. So I'm bringing my Reeboks with me, and I'll get out on the ice and skate on my days off. And hey, that's a good way to pick up girls too. Hey, you want to go skating?
Up in Boston, I grew up playing hockey. So let me tell you, make sure you strengthen up your ankles before you start doing that. If you haven't done skating in a while, work on those ankles. Put some weights on and all that. Work yourself out.
I'm actually working out 4 times a week. 2 days a week I do dry land to work on my shots, my stick handling, and then 2 days on ice, full pads, just learning. You know, I mean, I'm an okay skater now, but I mean, I got to get a lot better before I start competing, because in 6 months I want to be competing in a league in L.A.
Okay. Well, when your ankles
I want to be an elite hockey player. I want to be playing like Lucic.
Dimitri, talk about an A-type personality. Is there anything that you picked up and just said, well, I'm just going to half-ass this, or everything you touch, you simply, I get the feeling you say, I've got to give 100% of myself to accomplish this. Not because you want to be better than other people, but you're setting challenges up for yourself. Can you talk about that a minute or two?
Yeah, I mean, that's, I don't know where, I mean, yeah, you're right. It's part of my personality. It's part of the way that my mind works, and whether I'm training to go to the national championships, you know, I step in the ring, I want to beat everybody, and I don't just want to beat them and by a decision. I want to KO them or just overpower them. If I'm, you know, now that I'm learning hockey, I mean, when I skate, I want to just skate like the guys I see on TV, and until I can do that, I'm not going to be satisfied, you know. And obviously, I'm never going to be probably as good as Sid Crosby or, you know, any of the Boston Bruins guys, but I want to get as close to that as possible. So I'm willing to put the work in, though, to make it happen. That's the big thing. So a lot of people, they go, I'd like to do that, but they don't want to put the work in. And so I'm willing to do it, because it's for hockey, in the regards to hockey, it's a new thing. I've been a fan my whole life, and I grew up in Florida mainly, so I never really learned to skate. Now I got a hockey coach. He's a buddy of mine. I'm like, let's just do this. So 6 months in, and I'm doing it. I'm not quite good at it yet, but I'm getting there.
Things that we have to know here. First of all, we'd like to give your hockey coach a good, you know, parp up there. So do you want to tell us who your hockey coach is, please?
His name is Eddie Liu. He's from Minnesota.
Uh-huh. And is he out here in Los Angeles in a show or something?
I train out of, usually I'm going to the LA Valley Ice Center in Van Nuys. Sometimes I go to Burbank, to Pickwick, one or the other.
Look, people hearing this, they want to know, they want to take a peek at you sometimes, so that sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
He trains also, he said, in both places, or just where does he train mostly with you?
Usually it'll be, I'll be with him either way, you know, we'll go and skate, you know, do a skate around. The place that I prefer is the LA Valley Ice Center because they cater towards hockey. They actually have stick time. So I go full pads, they got the nets out, practice my shots, practice skating and all that. And it's hockey oriented, not just skating. So
big difference too. Big difference.
And you'll notice me because I'll be wearing I only wear this because I did a commercial with Mark Messier the first year I moved out here for Lay's Potato Chips. It was a Canadian campaign, but it was when he was playing with the Vancouver Canucks. So as a present, after doing the commercial, they gave me a Vancouver Canucks shirt with Dimitri on the back. That's what I wear when I work out. So you'll know it's me.
tie it around your butt when you go, or are you beyond that?
I get those looks too. I'm gonna switch over to my Bruins and LA Kings jersey pretty soon.
Unbelievable.
But it was a nice thought though. The Vancouver Canucks thought to send me a real game jersey. I mean, it's one of those thick ones, those real game jerseys, and put my first name on the back. So much respect to Mark Messier. That guy's a stud.
Well, maybe Taylor was sitting in one of those pillows you can tie on your butt so you don't hurt yourself and all that. Come on, Taylor, we care about it.
Believe me, I've busted ass quite a few times, and there's a lot more to go because I'm pretty daring. There's not a whole lot of fear, so I go for it, and some of the maneuvers are a little bit more than I got to work on it, and I'll just go airborne and hit the ice and get back up and keep going.
Nice about ice, you can slide. You don't have to come
to
a ruck stop when you fall. You can slide.
Exactly.
Unless somebody pushes you into the fence, and then that's abrupt salt. That's definitely a stop. That's why most of those guys got no teeth. You know that, brother. Be sure you
you got to
keep.
You definitely got to watch out for. Oh yeah, totally. Whenever I'm in the ring sparring or out on the ice, if it's especially if I know I'm going to be doing contact, yeah, of course.
I think I told Phil this before. When I was in the fourth grade, my father had me in the ring boxing. My first bout was against a guy much older than me. I was in fourth grade. He might have been in sixth grade. He seemed like a giant to me. After the first round was over, I came. You know, the bell rang. I came back, and my father said to me, my father's name was Bill. My name is Bill. He said, Bill, is it your plan to let him keep hitting you in the face until his arm gets tired? That's a great kid. He said, but he's got no defense. I said, well, you know, bell rang. I got up off the seat, went back out again, but what the hell. The point is not how good I was. The point is when the bell rang, I got up and went out again. That's all we ask. I tell my children, you don't have to be the best. When the bell rings, get off out there and do the best you can. That's all we ask out of life.
You know, and we still tell that to Bill to this day because, you know, Bill's had over 100 bar fights. He's lost 99. He's only won one, and that was only because that girl showed up drunk.
Man, I got a hard beat there,
don't
I?
Oh, that's rough.
She's not going to get a rematch. She showed up sober. She didn't. No rematch. I'm telling you, I got a lot
Defining moments are moments like you just talked about, man. And that's in many different aspects of life. And I when you mentioned that, I think of the 1990 national championships, and I went all the way to the finals that day, and I had to fight six times. my second fight, in the second round, I like had a hairline fracture in my left ankle on this guy's elbow, and I literally took a standing eight count just to get over the pain. And I remember looking up into the rafters and saying, I didn't come all the way to Madison, Wisconsin to quit because my foot won't go anymore. Fuck it. Let's do this. And I knocked him out the next round. But, you know, those are moments that you remember. You remember that with your dad saying, it doesn't matter, you're getting beat. Go back in there. And for me, I still remember that moment to this day, looking up into the rafters, feeling like my foot was going to fall off and saying, how am I going to get through this? This is only my second fight. You know what? Do it. And you just do it.
It's mind over matter. It's going to hurt like hell in the morning, but you may never be in that position again. And I'm going to tell you one more story. I grew up in South Boston. I was on the South Boston All-Star team in baseball.
Really? You grew up in Southie?
South Boston, all the way.
That's awesome, man. I got a bunch of friends from there from my days in Massachusetts. That's
all over there.
That's
my
the place, man.
So we're playing the baseball game, and it's an all-star game. I'm on second base. The first batter up's a fat kid named Billy Smith. I say that because I got this guy memorized in my life 100%. He played for the East Boston team. He was the pitcher, so he's a big boy. He hit a line drive that took our pitcher's head off. Put my left hand, my glove hand, the ball went right in. It fell on the ground. So Billy Smith was trying to run down to first base. Fat boy, wasn't going real fast. I picked the ball up, looked at my glove. I threw the ball to first base. Billy was out by a long shot. First baseman threw the ball to the third baseman. Third baseman threw it to me to second base. Right in my glove, it fell on the ground again. I picked the glove, the ball up. I threw it to the pitcher. Our coach yelled for the
pitcher. You got a triple play?
The pitcher threw the ball back to me again. Right in my hand again, and it fell out of my glove again. What happened was in the very first pitch of the hand, he shattered my thumb. I couldn't close the glove. Pull me out. My father's there. My mother's there. Everybody I know is there. Everybody is applauding, and I'm thinking, I don't want to go. I don't need to close my hand. I'm going to stay in. They go, you have to leave the game. And I can remember every step, and I keep saying one day, I'm going to find that Billy Smith that hit that ball, broke my thumb 30 years ago, but I'm looking for him. But I can see that day as clear as possible. They dragged me off the field. I kept thinking, I don't need my thumb. I don't need my thumb. I can play. And they went, no. And I went, wow. So these are things that make us men of us, you know?
Defining moments, man. They're things that you'll always remember, and I think they add layers of protection on top of you and not aggression, but just self-consciousness that you know how far you can go. You did that. Now you're facing this. It might not be in the ring. It might be, for me, in a field of acting or music. But you look at that and say, you know what? Just because it looks impossible, don't mean it is. And if I say it's impossible, then I might as well stop now, and that's just not something in my vocabulary. I see things, and I try to shoot for them, and like I said earlier, I'm going to fall, I'm falling forward.
My nephew is a martial arts full-contact fighter. His very first fight, and I was the cornerman, he got his butt whooped every which way there was in the first round. He came in, said to him, Seth, you've lost this round. You're going to lose this whole fight. Because, in fact, you're fighting his fight. You're completely intimidated. Let me take the towel, throw it in, Seth, because you don't have it in you anymore. Or, bell's going to ring in just a second. You can go out there, go through the pain. You've already been hit. Go through the pain, fight your fight. Win, lose, or draw, you'll be a man for it. This will be a watershed mark in your life. And we had a lot of professional fighters there. He went out the second round, the third round. He fought better than he ever fought. He lost the fight. But all the professional fighters there said, you know what, he went through the pain, he went through the fear, and he fought a better fight towards the end of the fight in the beginning. And I told him, when things get tough and you're not sure, think about the time you're in the gym, you're going to lose the fight, but you went out there anyway and you fought it. He's overseas right now fighting in the military, and every now and then he says, Uncle Bill, I won't forget, you gave me the advice, go out and try it. Only you know what you can do. You sound like that type of a guy to me, Dimitri.
Yeah, amen to that, brother.
So you and I are having a gym and all that, and I'm the corner man. I'll push you out. I won't be out in the ring with you, but I'll push you out. I might do it again. Need to know our own strengths and all that.
Well, you know, it's just like me. I grew up on the west side of Chicago, six blocks from the projects, and I was in the youth organization, CYO, and I did boxing, and then I went into Marine Corps, and I was the lightweight champ for 3 years running, from 79 to 82, and then.
Oh, nice.
When my brother had my...
You want to see his face today, not so good.
Yeah, not so good. We got the perfect faces for radio.
That's what they tell us.
That's what they tell us.
You got a perfect face for radio. It's a great line.
What happened was I was back... my mom passed away in 2006, and I went back for the funeral. And my nephew was having a problem at school with his kids, so I was teaching him how to throw punches. I mean, it's like a similar situation to Bill. This kid was a little bigger kid. And he punched him right in the nose. So he went in.
Nice.
He had to go in and see the nun, the principal. So Uh-oh. She brought them both, asked them what was going on. She sent him one out in the hallway and then talked to my nephew. So she asked him, "Well, why did you hit him in the face?" Because I felt I was in grave danger. My uncle taught me how to throw a punch, and he said if I feel that I feel really threatened, punch him right in the nose. And that's what I did. So the nun called. And the nun knows me and my brother from when we were kids, went to the same school. So he knew I was the
Here we go
guy.
Again.
Just saying that I'm teaching my nephew how to beat kids up. So they call my brother. He's on duty, so he goes the next morning with my sister-in-law. So my brother said, as soon as she said, they brought him in and had him tell the story, and he was looking at the nun while he was telling the story. He was scared to look at my brother and my sister-in-law. So he tells the story. My brother told me it took him all he had not to bite his tongue and stop laughing because he thought it was hilarious. But the nun chewed his ass because she told him and then told my sister-in-law that when I come into town, I am not to teach those kids anything anymore.
You know, I want to give you a little bit of advice here. Philip and I both have broken hands. Be careful. Be careful of your hands. You're going to keep doing that martial art training and punching and all that. Both of us have got broken hands, is a good way to put it. So be careful of that. As you get older, that gets a little bit more difficult, a little more arthritis and bursitis and too many broken bones.
Well, see, when I went into boot camp, Bill, at Ferris Island in the Carolinas, right? The day I got off that bus and I stepped on those yellow footprints, that guy told me from that day on, I was 6'5" and don't take shit from nobody. And it stuck.
Just don't hit anybody with your hands anymore. I learned that lesson. I may open palm you.
Yeah, you know, the knuckles are such a long time to heal joint. I've hit many a jaw and head and elbow. And I actually did get boxer's fracture on my right ring finger bone, uppercutting somebody when I was like 18, and luckily it didn't affect my guitar playing at all. It healed perfectly, but I understand. That's one of the reasons why I like. I box now. I got a great boxing trainer who trains pros, and I get in the ring with him. But you know, I wrap my hands real good, and I wear gloves. Everything's pretty cool. But I that's why I like jiu-jitsu, because I can use my 230-pound body to take someone down and just lay on them, and I don't have to worry about breaking my hands. Just use elbows and choke them out. You know, it's a little easier.
And their weight against them, I'm all for jiu-jitsu. I'm all for my not getting hit at all. That's my plan. I want you not to want to fight me. That's all I want. Whatever's going to take me to do this,
I usually tell them stick around.
You want to punch them
my
out.
My turn's coming.
I want you not to want to fight me. Something's going to happen where I want to put you down in a position where you realize this is not doing good. That's all I want. I want you to say, I don't want to fight you anymore. I'm happy. I don't want to hit anybody else anymore. I don't want to elbow anybody else because everything on me has been screwed up over the years. So if you don't want to end up with poor Philip and I, two beat up fighters, take care of your body now, brother. Although from your routine, your regimen, Taylor tells me you're in quite excellent shape.
I work out almost every day. And like I said, I'm boxing at least twice a week. I spar different dudes, you know, guys, different sizes, different body styles.
Yeah.
And then hockey is great for the quads and the butt and the hips. And I do, you know, I don't work out heavy as much anymore. You know, I don't put up four plates on each side bench press, and just because it makes me too big. And as far as the direction I want to go as an actor, I think I'm as big as I need to be, and I'm more into like cardio and flexibility and quick stuff now, boxing, kickboxing, that kind of thing. But yeah, I understand that, you know, your body definitely wears out if you're not careful, but I feel great, man. I haven't felt, you know, this good on top of stuff in a long time. It's been I had a couple issues with athletic injuries that kept me kind of down and out for a couple of years, and I'm back from that, and I feel awesome, you know, so...
We got a question somebody's asking?
No, I think Taylor's talking to someone.
Oh, Taylor, do you want to say something?
Oh.
Did we hear your voice, Taylor?
Sorry. I was just agreeing with Dimitri.
Yeah, the kickboxing, I'll have to say, kickboxing is a lot of wear and tear on your joints. So I have like a bunch of, I wish I would have done this when I was like in my 20s, but a measurement of like 7 or 8 different pills that are like chondroitin, you know, a joint MSM, chondroitin, multivitamin, fish oil, bunch of different stuff like that, that I think if I would have started taking it when I was 20, I probably wouldn't have some of the joint problems, not problems, but just once in a while, a little aching thing here and there. It's another one of those things where you kind of live and learn, you know? But like I said, I feel great right now. The kickboxing and the boxing, the hockey. I take yoga once in a while, too, which to me is like one of the hardest things, because there's some positions in that yoga class. I look around at these 100-pound girls, and I'm like, there is no way in this lifetime with this body I'm ever going to be able to do that.
You know, recently I've stopped Tai Chi. And I really think I have to get back into Tai Chi. The flexibility I had under Tai Chi was phenomenal, and I just kind of get out of it. Too many things going on in my life, and I think over and over how flexible I was under Tai Chi. And do you ever get into Tai Chi at all?
I've taken a little bit of it, Kung Fu and Tai Chi, a while ago. But yeah, the slowness of it, I think, is part of the yoga aspect of it, where you're actually holding a position for quite a while. And I think it looks a lot easier than it is. It's sort of like yoga. You look at somebody doing that and you're like, oh, that, well, you're just standing still. You're just holding that. Then you go and try to do it. And how many moves are there in that form, the opening form of Tai Chi? Is something like 26 moves or... I forget, but...
We see in the park, it's all a bunch of old people. But I'm telling you, young people should do it, too. It's no impact, no stress on the body. And, again, I take it just for the flexibility factor, and I really got to get back into it. I could bend over and just tie my shoe. I could do anything, whereas now I can feel the stiffness coming in again. So, you know...
Flexibility, man, that's... Flexibility is so important, not just, you know, for... oh, I can do a split, you know, it's for flexibility of the shoulders. There's so many people that don't really stretch out and rotate their shoulders for years, and then all of a sudden they slip on the stair, come down on their elbow, and they shatter their shoulder. Why? Because it's not flexible. I busted ass on the ice the other day. My feet came out from under me, landed on my right elbow, felt my back crack, my shoulder hit my head. I got up, kind of stretched my shoulder, was a little sore, and it was fine. And I was thinking to myself, thank God I do all those shoulder flexibility exercises right there. That could have been a bad situation. So totally agree with you on the flexibility.
Back in high school, before we played the baseball, football games, none of us wanted to do the stretch exercises. We wanted to get right out there and do the games. Luckily, we had people like coaches made us do the stretch exercises because we're pumped up. We're ready to fight our arch rivals, wherever it's going to be, baseball, football, whatever it was. Luckily, we did have people, coaches, that would say, hey, 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 we're all going to stretch out. We're all going to get ready to play. I'm ready to play now. Luckily, people kept me back. And later in life, I learned the importance of my stretching out before I do anything.
Oh, yeah. Flexibility also equals longevity, too. I mean, you might be able, you might be at some point flexible enough to just step right in and start doing stuff, but the long-term effects of that is going to go against you. You need to warm up. I don't care whether you're 18 or you're 48. You need to warm up what you're going to be using. So, just a fact of physics.
Yeah. Each one of us has to develop his own technique and all that. And for you to develop your own stretch routine, that's critical. I know in football they kept wanting me to work on my legs,
legs. Yeah. You know, Bill had July 13th. Well, yeah, it was July 13th in 2009. And I got hit by I was going northbound on 5 down by crossing the Del Mar racetrack. And I got hit by a drunk other bike going 75 miles an hour.
Cycles hitting each other on the freeway. What karma does he have?
Right. And I was down and out for a few months. And then finally when I did get the ride, Bill, I was going to meet. I was going to meet Bill and his nephews at our friend, the Bondsman. He has a fight club. He has a dojo. He trains fighters, MMA fighters. And, I'll let Bill tell you what happened.
So he's been laid up for a while, you know, and he's been, you know, broken up and all. He's back on the motorcycle. First day out, shoulder is in great pain. Great, great pain. We're rolling down the freeway, catching a lot of wind and all that. I want to go see the fights. We're rolling about 70 miles an hour, and I see that every little bump in the road, every little gust of wind is really hurting his left shoulder. So I did the only thing a friend would do. I pumped the speed up to about 85 miles an hour. He was in so much goddamn pain. By the time we got to JoJo, I thought he was going to pass out. But I figured 60 isn't fast enough. He's in pain. Let's go all the way. That's what a friend's for, to take advantage of another friend. And the poor pain on his face, you know, it's not funny, but somehow it was funny to me at the time. That's what friends are for, though, to bust each other's balls. Right, Dimitri?
You cut out there for a second. I just caught the tail end of that.
I say that even though, like, I made fun of him, that's what friends are for, to make fun of each other, right? There's no, you know, negative energy, but...
Well, no, it did. The thing was when I left my house to go to Bill's house to meet, to ride down there with those guys, I was kind of like, I was nervous. He asked me, he said, well, why, if you're nervous, just come in the car. And I'm like, no, this is something I got to do. I've been off this thing for a while. I got 5 plates, 48 screws, and 9 staples holding my shoulder on. I need to do this. So basically, got me over that hump. And then a couple of days later, we went through where I got hit. They could see it in my before I got there. But once I was through it, no problem. And I've been going that way for almost 20 years now because I work at the Navy base in San Diego. But the first few rides, it was tough.
It was tough for you. That's why I'm your friend. That's what I'm here saying. Get the hell out on the freeway. Let's get out and relive those experiences again. That's the only way you get over it, is relive those experiences. If you crash on the freeway, you got to get right back and go to that same spot again to get rid of the EBGBs and all that bullshit.
Yep. Totally agree. Totally agree.
But a good show tonight. I enjoy talking to this guy here. I don't know when I'm going to bump into you, Dimitri. I'm really hoping that sometime in the future we're going to.
Well,
I'm going to miss this movie, obviously, because I'm not going to get over there.
Well, he's
going to
be gone. Yeah, he's going to be gone for a while. But when he comes back,
so I'm thinking. Yeah.
I already.
Yeah, you know what?
When I
come back from Romania, we'll have each other's info on. You know, you guys emailing me on Facebook and all. Yeah, we'll get together and grab a brew or something, or have lunch and meet face to face. That'd be great.
I have one question. Somebody's calling me in here. One of your first movies was in the Navy SEAL movie with Demi Moore, G.I. Jane. Are you still with me, Dimitri? Did we lose him?
No, he's there.
Dimitri, do you hear me? You were in
I can
hear G.I. Jane with Demi Moore.
Cut out for a little bit.
What is it?
Hold on.
Go ahead.
Listeners has wrote in. They want to know about... one of your first movies there, G.I. Jane, with Demi Moore. How did you get involved in Navy SEAL? What was the training like for that program?
Oh, that was actually my first big movie. I was at the last semester of my master's program at Florida State University, and the one agent in Tallahassee, Florida, sent me out on this audition to Jacksonville and said they're looking for 40 guys that can, you know, that look like Navy SEALs. And I went out there. The audition was for basically a featured extra, which meant we were going, if they picked us, we're going to stay on Camp Landing in the barracks, and that'll be the set, and we'll be living there. And I ended up getting it. We went down there 2 weeks before the cameras ever came down with Ridley Scott and trained with real Navy SEALs, who to this day, there's quite a few of them that I'm still friends with out here in L.A. Great guys, and they've made us go through physical training. The first day we were there, we had a physical fitness test, pull-ups, push-ups, squat thrusts, jogging, or running a mile and a half, then swimming like 1,500 meters. It was quite a thing, and, you know, very memorable, and a good bunch of people. Nothing but good things to say about Demi. Great woman.
How about swimming? Is swimming one of your strong points, or did you have to struggle to get up to their speed swimming?
No, I can swim, you know, any stroke, pretty quick, pretty long distances. Swimming was probably one of my stronger things. That and pull-ups. I was able to bang out, I think, 30 pull-ups. So that's not too bad for a 215-pound dude at that time.
We want to tell you, Dimitri, see, we have a lot of people that are they're listening and all that, but a lot of people just uncomfortable coming
barking
on the air.
The air.
And I don't know why that's crazy.
Yeah.
But we are in so many different countries that a lot of people archive the show. And they're going to go to bed tonight, they're going to wake up, and they're going to listen to this whole show. Phil, can you give us an idea about how many countries are listening tonight by any chance?
Yeah.
Hang on 1 second, Dimitri. I wanted you to know how many people are going to be listening to you tonight, archiving the show tomorrow. Give me one second.
Cool.
Give Philip one second here. Philip Hennigan is the co-host, but he is the engineer. I'm Bill Kennedy. I don't do much of anything but talk, so we'll get it all figured out. Together we're
good. Phil and Bill.
Yeah, it worked out well.
You are a good team. You guys complement each other very well, vocally as well as just personality-wise.
Hey, did you pay that guy?
I don't know. I thought I'm on the family. Now I think he thinks I'm on the family. God, you know, maybe Bill was... No, he didn't say nothing about you. He said, Bill's a nice guy. I heard that. We're almost there. He's going through some stuff. But I think you'll be quite impressed with the amount of people that will be tuning in and listening.
See, right now, we've got Australia, Canada, Germany, France, the United Kingdom, Russia, the Netherlands. We got some guys in China that if they get caught, they'll get killed. Poland.
Wow.
Yeah, we got one guy in China right now. If he gets caught, because they don't allow this over there.
They're trailing.
Oh,
where
my
he's
goodness.
Go to jail.
Yeah, we got Thailand, the Netherlands. We've got Belgium, Russia, France.
I seriously say Poland.
Russia.
Poland, Sweden.
No Romania, though, huh? Eh, too bad.
Brazil. Yeah, we're pretty much all over tonight, and that's usually how it goes. And then a lot
that's
of
that's great, man. I mean, yeah, that's what I was saying earlier. Sons of Anarchy is like a worldwide famous show. So,
yes.
You know,
it's
just because a couple of entertainment writers that have been, writing little articles for a couple of years haven't heard of, you know. Sons of Anarchy doesn't mean they're unknowns. It just means you don't know them. It's a totally different thing. So, hello world. Thanks for listening.
Well, you know what? You'd be surprised. And like I said, people are going to wake up tomorrow and they have to archive it because they're like 8 hours ahead of us, whatever. So it's quite interesting. We get a lot of people, though. I don't know why people don't want to come and talk to you. People are uncomfortable. So they're emailing all these messages. I'm trying to write or ask you all these stupid questions here. People, he's a nice guy.
Yeah,
talk to him. He's got 4 guitar CDs in his release.
Yeah,
talk to him. He's a nice guy.
Taylor's trying to read my mind because I know Dimitri has a website and he might want to give out the address.
Oh, my God.
I forgot about that. It's DimitriD.com, DimitriD.com. Yeah, I actually just had that thing redone not too long ago. It looks pretty cool. There's some good stuff on there.
What's this? Oh, I'm reading one of her comments. Taylor, I not only saw the actor, I'm his sister. Okay.
Right.
She wrote some interesting things.
Yeah. And sometimes sometimes, Taylor, that the powers that be, they decide if they heard one word or another, they kind of like shut everybody off. We have
it's weird.
Yeah, it's kind of weird sometimes.
Like this in America going on, and we are investigated time to time in case they were giving out secret messages or some crazy stuff. The government wants to know everything in there, but we're simply people talking to other people, and our whole purpose is to talk to some of the stars of the Sons of Anarchy. Is there anybody else got any questions we'd like to speak to?
Am I unmuted?
Yes, you are, dear.
Go ahead, dear. Anytime, jump in.
All right, I want to go back to the education factor, because that kind of took a detour to the right, because I brought up the fact that he went to school here in Massachusetts, and that just really intrigued me. And I did ask him if he had intentions to come back, and he said he hadn't been here in such a long time. And what I'm wondering, you know, if possibly in your busy schedule you could come back to the area and see, you know, there's been a lot of change that's taken place. And, I mean, I don't know, maybe put in a little time at the high school that you went to just kind of like, you know, teach kids that there's more to the world out there if they just apply an effort.
Well, that is one of the things that is in my to-do list within the next couple of years, is to get back to Boston. And if I am back there, I definitely will. I don't know if anybody still remembers me there. It's been a long time, but I definitely would not mind going and saying hi.
You don't know any nuns, do you?
Yeah, but you know what? This is important to, like, me, because I'm here. Because, I mean, you've done some TV shows and stuff. You've got lots of education behind you. You came and went to a high school here in Mass. And, you know, Massachusetts in itself is becoming run down. We're becoming extremely poor like the rest of the nation. And these kids need to have some type of positive role model. I'm sure when you were 7 years old playing guitar, you weren't thinking of Sons of Anarchy, you know, and it would be great for you to express, because you are very artistic on several different levels, you know, that you just need a goal and a dream to go after and just, you know, go for it. And even if, like, only five kids got affected by what you said, that's five kids that are going to go out and do the best they possibly can from, you know, seeing you talk. Just food to think about.
No, I agree. I mean, I actually do some of that. I haven't been back to Boston to do that, but I've taught guitar in downtown LA and done little seminars to it's called Para los Niños, and it's an after school thing to keep kids out of trouble. And I did that a number of times, and I'll tell you what, a lot of them, the next time I went back there, they had guitars with them, and they were like, can you show me something? Yeah, I mean, it's good to inspire kids to do something artistic.
You know, because I know, like, our local teams, obviously, you know, we have popular local teams, Celtics, Patriots, Bruins, et cetera, and I know they do all that stuff, but that's part of their contracting and stuff. I think if it just comes more from the heart, you know, like, this wasn't part of your contract signed in that you had to make 10 stops at high school. You know, like, if you went there on your own, just, you know, hooked it up with the school, I think it would mean more to the kids saying, look, I just came here because I went to high school here, and I want you all to know, you know, my beautiful work career that came out from completing high school and going to college and really striving to do the best I can be. You know, and I think that just means more to them than them hearing on the tour schedule, they're scheduled to stop here for 30 minutes. You know,
yeah.
Just kids won't be paying attention. But if you go there out of the heart, you know, you're going to have all ears on you.
I hear you. I definitely, like I said, I'd love to get back to Boston and see the wonderful changes that have gone on the last 18 years, and Newton North High School,
you know,
will definitely be one of my stops.
I'm sorry, can anybody hear me?
Yeah.
You know what, Stacy? If you have a contact over at the Newton High School, you could potentially call the principal and see if they need a commencement speaker for graduation, because that would get out to all the seniors out there saying, listen, this could be you. And Dimitri is an amazing speaker. And that would, like, be like, hey, he's coming out here spending his time to do your speech. They wouldn't get a better speaker than him.
Well,
there you go. You see that? My wise sister.
Dimitri, you need a new PR department. I think Taylor should be
I'm telling you, right?
The first show we've ever had where not one guy is called in.
I know.
We have nothing but women on that. Dimitri, I don't know what that's relative to, if anything. The first show all women only have called in and talked to you.
Hey, you don't hear me complaining, right?
No, and Philip and I certainly aren't either, but just an observation. We always get guys calling in, too.
Yeah.
You know, hey.
And basically, what? You know, there's over, right now there's over 10,000, almost 11,000 people online listening to this.
Oh, that's great. Hello, everybody. Thank you for listening.
And then tomorrow probably, usually the next day after we do this show, and depending on worldwide because of the different time zones,
yeah,
it's anywhere from 25 to 35,000 people. So if you're interested, I'll shoot you a little memo that telling you what's going on.
No, definitely. Definitely shoot me some info on that.
I have some Dorothy questions.
I can see Taylor runs the show. Don't send him nothing. You know what's going on. Taylor's run the show from now on.
No, I just have some questions that I wanted to ask Dimitri that maybe the fans would be interested in. Like, when
sure.
you did that whole scene, especially with what now I find out are baby crickets, how long did it take them to get you all lathered up in the goop, and how long did you have to be in there with? Like, can you give us, like, a whole rundown of, like, how it went from the time you got there to the time you got to hose down?
It was a while. I mean, I had to put on I think it was like a scuba diving pants to sit in the hole. And they put, you know, they had like a 2x4 for me to sit on, covered me up with dirt, covered me with, the thing that kept the bugs on me was KY gel. I've never had that much KY gel over that part of my body ever. That was a new experience. And then when they were right about to roll, the bug wrangler, they actually had a guy that had a jar, or a few jars, with about 1,000 baby crickets in each one. And he'd start pouring them on my head and dispersing them on my upper body. And then the camera would roll, and they did, I don't even know how many takes. It was probably a good 10, 12 takes. The hardest part of that scene, I was getting bitten. But while I was still alive in the scene, it was okay because my body naturally was kind of convulsing a little just from being bitten in so many places. The hardest part was when Clay smothers me and kills me. And then they have a little bit left of the scene where it's a wide angle and I'm in the shot. And Peter Weller, the director, was like, okay, you got to hold your breath and be completely still for this. And I'm like, really? I got to be completely still with these things biting me everywhere? That was pretty tough.
How did you do the drool? Because that was really gross and like very realistic. Like
that's what it was. It was sort of I got some of these bugs in my mouth, ugh, and I just let it hang out.
Ugh.
Remember how, like, when I used to sit on you when you were a kid and I used to spit and then suck it back up right before you hit in your face?
Oh, God.
Just like that.
Yes.
Just
wow,
like
that. That's a visual.
Oh, boy.
This is a good interview tonight.
We got a guy in the chat room. His name is, he goes by Oddjob1. He said, I'd like to call in, but I'm at work at a fire station. It's been busy this evening. Don't want to call in and then have to cut it short because of an emergency. Well, that's the type of people
okay,
we need.
Okay, Oddjob1.
Yeah,
you stay at the fire station. We need you there. But
yeah, that's the type
we hope we got some of the questions that answered, I hope. Oddjob1. We're gonna find. See, we never know who's gonna be here. We had a guy last week at the.
He was a paramedic.
Paramedic.
He was actually in the ambulance. He was on the show too.
Listen to this one, folks. He was treating a patient
while he was talking,
while
the
talking to us on the interview. that was kind of.
He's an LA paramedic.
And he wanted to call in, da da da, and treating the patient. He goes, I think I might get fired for this, but we'll give it. I have some questions I want to ask, so. While treating, it's crazy, crazy, crazy. But I know some people do have legit reasons not to call, but we will try to ask all the questions we can, but don't be afraid to call and speak to him.
No.
Dimitri's a nice guy. If you don't want to talk to him, talk to his nice
guy. Yeah,
I'm a good. So.
Wait a minute, Dimitri. Odd Job says he used to train with you in Boston 30 years ago.
Taekwondo, 30 years ago.
Oh, I think this is Leroy.
I don't know.
It might be Leroy.
Odd Job one.
Leroy, if that's Odd Job, if that's if you're listening and
type us in, let us know if you're Leroy.
Yeah, let us know if you're Leroy.
I know. My buddy Leroy was
yes.
is a firefighter.
He said yes. He's typing yes is Leroy. L E R.
All right.
Leroy.
What's up, Leroy? How you doing, brother?
Well, now he can call in. If he calls in, the number, I'll put the number in the chat room for you, Leroy.
Dimitri, your pass is catching
but
up with
you.
If you
want to just call in and say hello real quick.
Leroy, come on in there, yeah. He was just texting me to get him in here.
I'm just kind of hoping nobody calls in asking for a DNA test.
What about some of your other sisters might call and say, no, we're not related to that family.
Oh, no, I'm more worried about all the places he's done movies in.
Oh. Yeah, there might be little Dimitris running around.
Yeah, yeah.
And what about
thinking.
That girl? That one that wants high
you
school.
Might have
I wonder
some listeners over in Serbia now.
I wonder.
I don't know. Hey, you know what? I was going to have kids with any. I think Serbian women are some of the most beautiful women I've ever seen. So that wouldn't be a bad thing. I just have to bring them over here.
I'm both Philip and I are Irish descent, but I spent a year doing some intel in Tehran, Iran, and the Persian women are beautiful, absolutely beautiful. But
oh yeah, yeah, I did. I like Brazilian women too. The Brazilians are a beautiful race.
They are absolutely gorgeous. Yeah,
They've got a great combination of like, just, I mean, I meet a lot of them doing jiu-jitsu, so I see them, you know, up close as well as, I'm a big fan of, obviously, the women, and they just have a great athletic build to them, and they got an interesting culture. It's really cool. I haven't been there. I'd like to go.
Okay, Dimitri, hang on for a second. We got a 617-325. You're on the air. Who you are? Where are you calling from, please?
Hello, this is Leroy from Boston.
What's up, Leroy?
How are you, man?
Good, brother. Long time no speak, but we've been keeping in touch online.
Yeah, I just called real quick. I'm at work for a 24-hour shift, so it's been really busy, so we'll probably be jumping off real soon. But,
All right.
I just wanted to say it's been good communicating with you. I usually try to keep in touch with all the guys I've ever trained with over the years.
Yeah.
I'm really happy for you, man, with all your success and everything that you've been doing. You know, that's great to hear.
Well, thanks, bro. Appreciate the support. It's good to hear from you, too.
Oh, no problem. No problem. But, I agree with you with the Brazilian women. Yes, they are just a lovely race.
Yeah.
I haven't been down there either, but I'm planning to go. I got a lot of friends from there, so.
Me too.
Else. But, I'm going to shoot. Just wanted to say hello to you. Again, congratulations on your new movie there.
Thank
training.
You.
I still can get my legs up to your head height. I'm still doing that. You know, maybe we can hook up some time and train when I'm out.
Definitely, man. If I ever come back to Boston, like I said, I'm going to definitely give you a holler. We should get together
give me
and train.
A call. Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Have a good place to train, hang out, reminisce a little bit.
Sounds great, brother.
All right. Take care, buddy.
All right. Peace. Bye.
You know, Dimitri, I love different martial arts. I love to watch the Brazilian. Is it the Guido? No. What's the martial art in Brazil where it's all kicks and jumps and...
Capoeira.
Somebody help out here?
It's called Capoeira, I think.
Thank you very much. I think that's most beautiful. I don't think it's the best, actually, form of fighting. I don't think it's that great, in my opinion, humble. But the exercise program, oh, that's a wonderful exercise. I think they move around too much. I think they'd be very productive.
Yeah, and it's also done to the rhythm of the samba, too, which is it's a beautiful thing to see it performed with the music and the acrobatic movements and all that. They're definitely have to be an athlete to do that.
We have a trivia question coming up here, so
someone typed in and asked, in 1979, what was the name of the group that became, before they became Double Trouble with Stevie Ray Vaughan?
What was the name of the group before they became Double Trouble? And they got a question all about you, buddy. I give you a tip, but far away. Think about it for 1979.
Former,
you know what? I know the answer to it because I've read both of the biographies of Stevie Ray Vaughan, The Soul to Soul and In Step, Tightrope, I think was the name of the second one. But I cannot remember. I just know Stevie and his bass player were childhood friends. I can't think of the name of their band, though. Sorry.
Let's hang up this. Phil, can I tell them, please?
Yeah,
it was
called Triple Threat.
Triple Threat. Awesome.
In this type of program, again, if people would just ask you the question, but they seem to be a little bit shy, so they type message into us. What the heck is that? Yeah, I'm trying. Every now and then, Philip and I look like we're stalling, is because I'm trying to read different messages and questions to you and all that. You can
automate
my lot easier if you call and speak to him directly. And I know why I keep yelling at you people for that. Kevin Taylor, I think we should have all of our guests have their sister on the phone, too.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. Interview.
It's actually pretty cool. I wasn't expecting this at all. It's not like we got together and planned this. I'm pretty pleasantly surprised.
It is 2 hours past my bedtime, but I would never miss hearing you on a radio show.
Thank you.
So, but having your sister Taylor on, I think it made the whole interview, personally.
Mm-hmm.
Well, appreciate it. That's congratulations to her. She's a good talker.
She may be coming out to Hollywood, taking over the movies. Do you think Taylor's got the acting bug in her? Do you think she could carry it off, Dimitri?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know that she's got the patience at this juncture.
Absolutely not.
She's got her own career she's been working on for a while. She's doing just fine in.
I would be more like, what do you mean, take two? We're done. What are you talking about? No, I have absolutely no patience. He knows that from knowing me. I leave it to him. He's a professional.
Exactly.
Dimitri, there's one of the notes I got here about your babushka. Do you have a good friend, Valentina?
My babushka, you mean?
Yeah, I'm just saying.
My grandmother, my dad's mother. My dad's mother,
right?
Yeah. Valentina Voskubenko was her name.
That's a beautiful name.
Yeah.
Ukrainian.
Okay. My background on my father's side of the family is from Ukraine. They immigrated as a family in 1953 from post-World War Belgium, and my grandfather was a coal miner, and I think it was the Eisenhower deal where if you helped rebuild Europe after the war for 2 years, you work in whatever industry, and then you can come over and immigrate. And they chose Boston, South Boston, as a matter of fact.
Okay, now, in the movie Company of Heroes, you played the pivotal role of Ivan Butsarsky.
Butsarsky,
yeah. I blew that one again. A World War II action adventure where you joined forces with the American and British allies to save the world from Nazis. How did your family feel when you were making that movie?
Well, I tell you what, I wish my grandmother, my babushka Valentina, was around to see the movie. She, unfortunately, has been gone for a while. But my dad and my aunt saw it, and they got a real kick out of it. They're like, you know what? It's like you're playing one of your great uncles, because that's what they used to do in World War II. They were partisan fighters. They would, they were Cossacks. They'd come out of the hills and they fight whoever the hell was invading. Doesn't matter whether it was the Red Army from Stalin or the Nazis or even prior to that. Because, you know, that whole area is like a trade route for hundreds of years, and there's just so much war that went on there. And so my dad was, after he saw it, he's like, you know, stories your grandmother used to tell me, you were playing your great-great-uncle or something like to that effect. So that was kind of cool.
So I can kind of, you know, not relate to that person. I mean, but I can hear what you're saying about how the natural trend would be is so you could draw back on some of your family's, instincts, even if people didn't tell you about it. I think you could draw back and say, I think my family member would have played it this way. I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. It was tell you what, that was my favorite role of all time to play.
Oh, wow.
Not just that I was playing opposite Tom Sizemore and Vinnie Jones and Jürgen Prochnow and Chad Collins, you know, Amelia Kreiling, these other great actors, but the part I was playing and the era that I was playing, it was like a dream role. You know, up to this point, I just had a blast doing it.
Tell us about the dream role, because you're over there, but what was the challenge in that movie? What were you trying to come across? What were you trying to project in your role in that film?
You mean describe what the character was all about?
Describe how you felt you wanted to play the character. I'm sure they gave you some guidance how they wanted you to play. But would you reach in deep for and say, okay, I think this is the performance they want out of me? How'd you get into that role of mind, if you would?
Well, it's basically the way, first of all, the way the text reads, how the character is going to unravel. And I decided that Ivan was a spy, and he was basically, the thing I loved about the part was that he was a guy who was trying to do for his country what the Americans were trying to do for theirs. And there's a beautiful scene in it between me and Chad Collins where I steal these blueprints, and I have a gun, and I'm sneaking out. Everybody's sleeping, and he's the only one that wakes up and tries to stop me. And then in one of the lines I say, you and I are not so much different. I, like you, am doing this for my country. And yeah. And that's how I decided to play the character. He's not a bad guy, but he's going to do what he needs to do to ensure that Mother Russia comes out ahead. And the Americans are going to try to do the same for America. And that's, I just played him just like that, very simple. This is what he wants to do. And right now he's going to be shooting with the Americans and the Brits against the Nazis, but as soon as he gets his hands on the blueprints, he's out of there, you know?
You know, it's amazing. Before every battle, both sides pray to God. God, get me through the battle. God's, or the Nazis used to say, God's in our side. The American soldiers said, God's in our side. And every battle, everybody says, God's in our side. I think somebody should check and hold back and say, wait a minute. Enough of these battle bullshit. God ain't on nobody's side in the battles, I think. But a soldier goes into the battle. He's there because he's there defending his country, defending his homeland and all that. And I truly idealistic people going into the battle, not because of politics, not because of the government, not because of the Democratic Party. They're going to fight for their country. That's what I think makes soldiers great people, brave people. They certainly,
exactly.
When they come back, these brave people sometimes need a little extra help adapting to peacetime army. But that's our responsibility as family men to take care of our sons and daughters coming back and all that. There's so much we still
absolutely
have to get into with psychological bullshit of being in a war. It's crazy with that. And I deviated.
Absolutely.
No,
I'm glad you brought that up. I mean, we've got our young men and women overseas now that are still in harm's way. It's not like anything has changed. And I think what happens when they come home tells you how great a country we are. By taking care of them when they come home. Anybody can send an army out. But when they come home, dealing with the issues that they are obviously facing is necessary. It's a necessary thing. It's not like an option.
Yeah. We, and Philip and I, do a lot of work with the veterans with post-traumatic stress, and I'll let that go for another time with that. But we encourage everybody out there, support your children coming back. Wives, be a little more open-minded, getting your husbands coming back. Employers, give your employees a little extra time coming back, adapting. Remember, a lot of changes. Still our children coming back. And once again, I deviated. Dimitri, you only got a few seconds left. I can't tell you what a great interview it's been. I really appreciate that. Thank God you brought Taylor along, too, because you'd have been a boring article. But thank God Taylor carried you most of the whole show.
Yeah, thank you, too, to her. I appreciate it. And it's been great talking to you guys, too.
All right. And,
thank you, all my friends.
Yeah, and you're welcome back on any time. We do, this isn't just the only show we do, but we do one on Tuesdays and Thursdays as well. And if
awesome.
I'll send you the information, but if you ever just want to call in and bullshit.
That's about veterans' rights and
veterans' rights, whatever. Yeah, no problem.
That sounds great, guys, and I look forward to getting that info tomorrow for you, see what that info you were going to send me. So, it's been a great time.
I sent it to your Facebook, and if you friend me, you can get my email address off there, and then just send me a test, and I'll send you all the info.
Okay, sounds great.
Good night.
All right, good night, Taylor, and get some sleep.
And Leroy, go back to work. Good night, everybody.
All right, good night, Bill and Phil. You guys have a great one. Bye.
Good night. Ryan.
Thank you.
Good night.
Bye. Bye, Noelle. I love you.
Love you, too.
You know, I can't even think of a song to close us out, Bill, so I'm just going to say good night to everybody.
Yeah.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, guys.
Good night.